Hello and welcome to the Friday, March 13th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storms and its Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start out with an old favorite, WordPress. This time a different plugin, the SEO plugin by Yoast, is vulnerable to a blind SQL injection attack, and this attack is actively being exploited. There are proof of concepts available already for download. All versions up to and including 1733 are vulnerable. You should download version 174. And on Wednesday, I noted that we didn't get any Tuesday patches from Adobe. Well, they came a couple days late. We got a patch from Adobe for Flash Player now that fixes a number of different vulnerabilities. It is rated as one priority rating, one for Windows and OS X. So that means there are already some targeted exploits out there, and you definitely should patch it at your first convenience. Microsoft released version 5.2 of the Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit, or EMIT. Three sort of minor changes here to the tool. I don't think it's a critical update, but one of the nice things here I think that sticks out is that they enabled Control Flow Guard. That's a technique that was introduced in recent versions of Visual Studio, actually Visual Studio 2015, and it works on Windows 8.1 and Windows 10 in that it prevents DLLs from being hijacked, so from codes being injected. And of course, EMIT being sort of a very prominent security tool, it's nice that Microsoft is applying these techniques to this tool. And just as an indication that the freak vulnerability where clients support outdated ciphers isn't over yet, BlackBerry just announced that many of its products are vulnerable to this attack. No big surprise here because, well, they're using just the same SL libraries as everybody else. And Mozilla, usually more known for its client tools like Thunderbird and Firefox, released an interesting tool that it developed internally to secure its own servers. The tool is called Mask, if I pronounce this correctly, and its intended use is to scan memory on live servers for vulnerable libraries or malicious code. Remember, we talked quite a bit about whether or not software is still running on a system that has been patched but not reloaded into memory, where you still have old libraries sitting in memory that are being used that are vulnerable. Well, this tool, for example, could address this problem. It's part of a larger project at Mozilla. They're calling the Mozilla Investigator, or MIG, and it's sort of their endpoint security suite, but focusing on servers, in particular sort of large server farms. Now, they point out in their blog post that there are other memory scanning tools like Volatility and Recall, but they are really more taking a forensics approach, while this tool is really more about monitoring live servers. So Volatility, Recall, you would use those tools once Mask does find something suspicious on a system. And apparently users in India and Europe had some problems reaching Google for some time on Thursday morning. Looks like it lasted from about 9 to 9:15 UTC. Well, turns out that it was an ISP in India who started announcing Google prefixes. Hathaway is the name of the ISP that should really be contained to that ISP, but turns out one of Hathaway's peers, Airtel, picked up that particular announcement and then propagated it itself. Airtel does have a number of colo points and exchanges in Europe, which then caused those exchanges at least to route part of their traffic through Airtel and Hathaway. Yet again, another reason to watch for BGP and never assume that your traffic goes any specific route once it leaves your network. And to give you something to play with over the weekend, I wrote a little diary with some T-Shark tricks to inspect SSL traffic further. Now, the problem I tried to address here is to figure out whether users are accepting bad certificates that are not valid for the domain they're trying to reach. This can happen if a user clicks the OK button, of course, in the browser, but also sometimes mobile applications don't necessarily check the certificate, so they're easily spoofed into accepting a bad certificate. Turns out in SSL, we do have an option called server name indication. This option will transmit the host name you're trying to connect to in the clear as part of the client hello. This is important because the host header that we have in HTTP is, of course, encrypted, so we don't have access to that in T-Shark. On the return end, we then, of course, can pick out the certificate that comes back from the server and check whether or not the name that we try to connect to is actually part of that certificate. The script I put together is just using some little bash commands and T-Shark in order to give you a quick summary. The comparison is still somewhat manual in this script. So if you have a ton of traffic, you may just want to grab a little Perl script or something like this to do the comparison automatically as well. Well, and that's it for today. Thanks for listening and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.